This book of 1 John is a book for us. In many ways, it seems defined by our day and age, where much is being proclaimed as the truth. And thus, we get to 1 John chapter 4, that we, as believers, need to be discerning, to test what we hear, as it begins in verse 1. So I have a question for you. When's the last time you've taken a test? Do we still have those test-taking abilities and capacity? I know for myself, I would sometimes wait till the day before and do what we always know, that cramming before the test. I might have studied a little bit beforehand, but really that day before, I wanted everything to be fresh on my mind, and I could probably find even what was my proclivity was I would take a one sheet of paper and everything that I could possibly fit from the chapters or the section or whatever, the half of the semester, I'd try to cram it into as small a space and as much as I could on one piece so I wouldn't have to find all these notes, but I would study and look back in front. And hence probably why you'll notice I might have small writing even to this day, might have come from my days of school. But what about those driver tests? Or maybe in our work we have to test the quality of our finished product, or test the water, or what may be. There's certain steps that go into taking the test or running a test. And this morning, John is reminding us that we are to test what we hear and hold it up to this Word of God as our litmus test, our standard. It only passes if it passes the test of the Word of God. And that even goes for what I speak and teach and preach on Sundays. Is it lined up with God's Word? And I would pray that wherever God takes you, Lord willing, to be here with our family, but if you go elsewhere, you would always desire to find a body of believers that test everything by the standard by which God calls us to test everything, His very Word, the truth. And it's not just in the Word of God. What we're going to look at this morning is what has been titled, He Who Is In Us, or He Who Is In You, as 1 John 4, verse 4 says. So let's read this small section of 1 John, as I really think we need to look at this idea of what is true and what is false. There are spirits of error that are in this world. They've been given the dominion of this age. Their head and king and ruler is Satan, the great deceiver, the great trickster. But we, as 1 John chapter 4 says, we who are in Jesus Christ have not been given a spirit of error, but a spirit of truth. He that is in you. Let's actually look at the context, I think, beginning in the verse before chapter 4. And remember, when this was written, there were no chapter headings, no verse numbers. It was paragraph by paragraph. But here we read in verse 24 of chapter 3, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this, keep in mind that phrase, by this. It's been coming up before, and it'll come up even more regularly in chapter 4. By this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, they meaning the spirits of the Antichrist. Therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray this morning as we look at what God has for us. Father, may this morning we even tremble at your words. They are holy and perfect and true. They are our light and they guide us. And Lord, we cling to the promise that you gave to us as believers, that as Jesus left, he told us that he was sending his Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that would guide us into all truth and teach us all things. Lord, may the Holy Spirit, even within us, be doing that this morning. And Father, as always, would you draw anyone in this room who has not come to trust in Jesus Christ, would you draw them to yourself? For in trusting in Christ as Savior, in confessing sin and turning to the Lord, the promise of the Holy Spirit is given also to that individual. The eyes are open. They get to see the truth in a new way. No longer blind, no longer disregarding the Bible, but hungering for it, needing it for life and sustenance. Lord, I pray for those of us who know Christ that we would never get beyond the need of needing God's word on a daily basis, needing your strength and your wisdom on an hourly basis. And Lord, we praise you for the Spirit of truth that you have sent to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's about he who is in you. If you know Jesus Christ, you have a promise given to you that the Spirit indwells you and has shown you and opened your eyes to receive God's word, to receive his teaching, to receive what is true, but also, I pray, to be discerning for what is not true. This Spirit is a gift. This Spirit is true. This Spirit is from God, and this Spirit is greater than all other spirits that are in this world. And there is a spiritual battle happening right now. Even as God's word is being preached and proclaimed to go forth into our hearts, there is a battle for our hearts. There are arrows that are flying and schemes and accusations and hopes that we might falter and be weak and be hit. But if we are the Lord's children, it is no fatal wound. It is no final wound. He has us in his hands, and he says, no one is able to snatch you out of my Father's hands. What a promise from God, and that is through his Spirit, this Spirit of truth. We know that it's a gift by the first verse of that context in chapter 3. By this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us. A reminder, I know, and I probably said this already, but God in his heart is a God who gives. Part of his nature is generosity. Part of his nature is seeing that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in falling short, God has provided a way, a gift. He has been generous. And that way wasn't through just him speaking and providing something of little significance, but he provided it through his own Son. This Trinity relationship in glory of Father, Son, and Spirit, he gave of his Son, even turned his back on him to give us another gift, the Spirit. And this Spirit is a Spirit of truth. The Spirit has been a gift throughout all of Scripture. Numbers 27:18 speaks of Joshua receiving the Spirit to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. Jesus promises the ministry of the Spirit to be with his disciples and with us who believe in him. Luke 12:11-12 talks of the Holy Spirit who will teach us in that very hour what we need to say when we are before rulers or before those who ask about why we believe what we believe. I pray that you can even share or have a thought of when the Holy Spirit has done that on behalf of you, given you the words that you've needed to say for someone in that time. Possibly nervous, possibly going into something nervous, wondering, what words do I say? The Spirit gives us those words, teaches us what we need to say. John 7:39 says, now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him, in Jesus, were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus taught to his disciples that the Spirit would come to those who believed in his name. They would receive that Spirit. We find this all throughout the book of Acts, over and over again, the Spirit coming, the Spirit's ministry, the disciples, the apostles who were then called. Now the apostles spoke of the Spirit's ministry, that he would change people's hearts from the inside out, and that he had been doing that even in the Old Testament. Acts 1:16 speaks that the Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand, even by the mouth of David, who spoke and prophesied of Judas, who would betray and arrest the Son of God. Acts 2:17, the famous prophecy of Joel, spoken again in the book of Acts. And in the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. We are in the last hour, even as we read in the beginning of 1 John. The Spirit is here as a gift. Acts 5:32, and we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. This Spirit is a gift. It shows us that God is generous. It shows us that God keeps his word. I pray that as you think about the gifts that God has given us, one being the Spirit, you can ask, how has God made me a generous person? How has he used the Spirit of God inside of me to create generosity? We've now come into 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, that the Spirit is true and shows us what is true from what is false. This section is where John brings in a few words of command. He says, "Beloved, the ones whom I love," echoing the phrase that he uses over and over again, "little children, my beloved, do not believe every spirit. Do not just take everything in. Do not just believe that everything you hear and everything you read and everything on the billboards is the truth." And I think we should know that. I would hope so. I believe we can because we have been given the Spirit of truth who makes us go, wait a second. Puts a little discernment in our hearts. And John reminds his church, do not believe every spirit. But what? Another command he gives, test, validate, scrutinize, examine, search out what is true. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And when he speaks of these spirits were speaking through individuals. It's kind of a scary thought, but false teachers that were around then, they're still around. They are energized, empowered, given words to speak, not by themselves, but even controlled by spirits. This spiritual battle, this spiritual world that we don't see, but we need to remember it is alive and it is happening even now. That there is a war that we cannot see going on in the air and in the heavenlies between the Spirit of truth and the plans of God and between the ruler, Satan himself, who would like to thwart and destroy everything that God has planned and everything that God stands for and every truth that God wants to communicate to us. Satan would love to just turn that even ever so slightly. So we're called to believe. That word to believe means to find something to be true, to find something to be trustworthy. Like when you sit in the pew, you are hoping it doesn't tip over or be uneven and now it's become a rocking chair, or for the four legs of the chairs for one to give out. You believe in that chair, to give you a little silly illustration, but you put your trust that it will hold you up. I know some of you who are a little more daring believe in zip lines to hold you up, to get you from point A to point B. I haven't actually done one of those in a pretty long time, but that was one of my favorite things. Doesn't it amaze you, the young youth that just kind of go off and throw themselves into the air, believing, trusting that this line is going to hold them. And I could go on and on with ways in which we exercise belief every day, faith in something to rely upon, to be found trustworthy. John says, be careful, because not everything is reliable and trustworthy. but examine, scrutinize, search out what each person is saying. Be like the Bereans, I would encourage you, even of me this morning. For it was those Bereans, those faithful Bereans in Acts 17, that said they went home and they received the word with eagerness, but they didn't just take it in and do nothing. They examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Acts 17, verse 11. They checked up on the preacher. And I say that with fear and trembling. But check up on my preaching. May it be from the Word of God. Of God. May it be truth and not a lie. You might know the story of Corrie Ten Boom. But when she thought of tests and trials, of which she knew personally very much so, that when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket. You don't jump off the train. You sit and trust in the engineer that they're going to get that train through the tunnel or the tracks upon which that train runs. That as you enter into darkness, you will exit into the light. I know this is silly, but I've, ever since I was a teenager, done this tunnel thing. When I drive through a tunnel, I hold my breath. I still do that to this day, maybe to keep myself young or feeling young. But, you know, and my poor wife just probably rolls her eyes. I don't think my kids have caught on yet, but I hold my breath because I believe there's an end to that tunnel and I'm going to get through it and I have to see how far I can go with my breath. I'm usually not driving, just to make sure you all know. Just have to let you know about that. I'm usually not driving. But there is an end to those tunnels. There's light in the end. Corrie Ten Boom understood that truth, that a test does have an end. Maybe as you're sitting in a class and you're looking at the watch and you're saying, oh no, I only have 10 more minutes. Or you're at work and you're being tested at your skills, but you know that there is an end to that test. Well, God also says that we are tested like gold refined in the fire so that the purity comes out and the dross is removed. 1 Corinthians 3:13 speaks of this test. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 5 and following says, test yourselves or examine yourselves to see that you are in the faith. Do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? I hope you will find that we have not failed the test, Paul says to the church. But we pray to God that you may not do wrong, not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. Paul was tested, and his desire was to live for the truth. Another passage that echoes John's words, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Test everything. There you go, all conclusive. Test everything, hold fast to what is good. And sometimes the language of what is good can be echoed with what is true. Hold fast to what is true, test everything. The Spirit is truth. 1 John 5:6 tells us this. Also, Jesus promises the Spirit to be sent, as we might familiarly know in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. John 14, 17 talks of the Spirit of truth the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus promises this Spirit of truth will be in you. John 15, 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. And John 16, 13, John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you all that is to come. This Spirit is true. How do we know this? Look at verse 2 of 1 John 4. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. So John, how can we be assured? By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. There's your litmus test. There's how to know the Spirit of God versus the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the world of this age. Do you confess that Jesus Christ has come? That he lived and died and rose again? That he is the reality of all that is true? He is who he says and who he said he was. And he is not dead, but he is alive. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That is the Spirit that is from the Lord. He speaks to us the truth. This Spirit is not just a gift, not just true, but he is from the Lord. There is a phrase here in these six verses that is said over and over again, the Spirit of God that has come, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is from God. Also in verse 3, the Spirit that doesn't confess Jesus is not from God. Verse 4, little children, you are from God. And verse 6, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God. It's this phrase, to be out of God, to be actually sent by him, to be mimicking or an exact representation of his nature. This Spirit of truth comes directly from God. And what's even more fascinating is John doesn't just say this Spirit is from God, but he says in verse 6 there, we are from God. Because we now have this Spirit in us, we have the very essence and nature of our great God whom we worship. We have eternity in our hearts, as the phrase goes. There is a part of God moving and changing and growing and living inside of us. And that is how we can know the truth. That is how the Spirit teaches us the truth. Because it is from God, and now it is in us, and now we are from God. But I want us to finish with this last, and I believe, highlighted part of these six verses, and it's in verse 4. For the Spirit isn't just a gift, it's not just true, it isn't just of God, his very nature and essence from God. But this Spirit is greater than he who is in the world. Verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, overcome the spirits of the Antichrist and the Antichrist and the ruler of the Antichrist, who is Satan himself. All in that category, John tells the believer, you have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater. This word for mega, like a megaphone trying to reach your voice to the crowds. The Spirit in us is greater than the one who is in the world. I pray as John continues to try to reassure his church that that reassures you, that there is a Spirit inside of you that is greater than the lies and the other things that the world tries to teach us. He is greater than the deceptions that happen. He is able to reveal us and give us discernment from what is true to what is false. And God reminds us through the words of John that we have overcome. It's that word where we get that famous company, Nike. Comes right from that Greek word, to overcome. God says in Romans chapter 8 that we are more than conquerors. It's that same word, that we have won the victory. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. Not because of things that we have done, not because of our wit or our might or our own strength, but it is because of He who is in you. And that Spirit in you is greater than, as the end of verse 6 says, the spirit of error. You have been given a new north. As far as we know, the compass is accurate. When it tells us this is north, we call it true north. That's where we go to our home. That is where we want to point everything to. And when the Spirit of truth is in us, we know where north is. God has given us the greatest compass that points us to where truth can be found. Let us not let anything else, the spirits of this age, the spirit of error, guide us in any other direction. But let us find and hold fast to this promise that He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. We have won the victory. I was just reading something this morning as well, that this isn't 100% what we see in our daily lives, that we have the Spirit of truth in us, but we are surrounded by the things we hear in the world, the lies that come in, the whispers and the accusations. Oh, that we would love to be given 100% truth, that we would stand by it at all times, that we'd be assured of it at all times, that we would be steadfast at all times. But we live in this age where there is truth and there is error. So as John calls us, may I call us all this morning to test what you hear, to examine the things you put before you, what you're reading, what you're watching, what you're hearing. Is it the truth? Maybe it's not quite the truth, but may it lead you, like the Bereans, to study, to examine the Word of God, to find out what is truth. For the Spirit inside of us gives us the ability and the power to do so. We have not been left alone to do this in our own strength by ourselves. We have the Spirit of truth inside of us. He is greater, and He is the one who overcomes. And He has given us a seal, as Ephesians 4, 30 says, to seal us and to make us firm to the very end, holding fast to the truth, the Word of God. In this day and age, where there is so much going about us, so many spirits that are speaking through others, may we test and examine what we hear, what we read, what we see, and hold it to the light of the standard, the Word of God. May that be for myself as well. I am not excluded from such examining and testing. May we bring everything to the truth of God's Word and hold fast to the truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. It is everlasting. It goes on forever. And your Word doesn't return void, as is the promise in Isaiah. It accomplishes what it was sent to do. Father, may I be abiding in the Word of God, as John reminds us over and over again in this book. May I want to listen and not just receive the Word of God, but do the Word of God, obey. And Lord, in this walk, may I also be given discernment to know what is true from what is false. And Lord, to leave and go out and go forth with this promise that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And that I have been clothed with righteousness from above. And we have not been left without the armor of God, but we have also been given that beautiful promise to put it on, to be like a good soldier, ready to go into battle with the armor of truth, with the armor of the gospel, with the armor of prayer. Lord, thank you that you have not left us to ourselves, but you are with us every moment, the Spirit of truth guiding us, the Word of God as our standard of truth, leading us into the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.